We're taking a look back at the war in Vietnam as told through photographs from the Associated Press. It's said that the world knew and saw more of the war in Vietnam than any other war before or since, and that's in part due to the work of war photographers on the ground in the heart of the conflict throughout the Vietnam War.
And no news source did more to document the war than the Associated Press.
And here with us now is Hal Buell. He was director of the photography at the Associated Press for 25 years, including during the Vietnam War era, and he's with us to talk about the new book, Vietnam, The Real War, a photographic history by the Associated Press. Hal, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Veronica.
Well, what was it about the war in Vietnam that at that time gave such unprecedented access to the sites and the news from the war?
Well, there was the circumstances surrounding coverage of the war was unique until that time and frankly remains unique since. The photographers had great access through the use to the rides on helicopters. There was no censorship, and anybody with a press pass could get on a helicopter. So if a photographer picked up word that there was a battle in Cu Chi or up north near the DMZ or up in the Pleiku in the mountains, he just went out to the airport and asked what pilot was headed that way with supplies or medical supplies and asked permission to jump on board. And if the pilot said yes, off he went. And it was just a really open season for photographers.
So it was unprecedented sort of mobility. Nowadays, I suppose they have to get a lot of permissions and go through lots of bureaucratic hoops. Is that right?
Well, the issues now resolve around two things. One, the process of embedding a photographer, which locks a photographer into one unit for whatever the period of embed is. So a photographer could sign up for a week or 10 days with a unit. If the unit did nothing, the photographer was locked into that unit and couldn't move. So if a battle took place on the other side of the mountain or the other side of the county or area, there was no way to get there. Whereas in Vietnam, if a photographer went on a patrol and the patrol turned out to be nothing, he could just hop his way back and hop on a helicopter to go somewhere else where there might be some action. So it was a freedom of movement. Now, freedom of movement in Iraq and Afghanistan was not as easy. It was a very dangerous thing. Murders and assassinations and kidnappings of media increased greatly during those two conflicts. And so it was a little dangerous to be out there all alone. Dangerous enough in Vietnam, but at least you had the protection of the military, where if you went off alone in Iraq or Afghanistan, you didn't have that safety. So those two factors tended to restrict or dampen the coverage.
Now, it sounds like a lot of the photographs that eventually made the papers and really transformed the way the public saw the war in Vietnam, sounds like a lot of those photographs crossed your desk. Is that right?
That's correct. My responsibility was the distribution of pictures in the United States and the collection of pictures in the United States and from around the world. So those pictures came in from Vietnam on really shaky radio photo circuits, and we were able to retransmit them into the U.S., but we also went through original film that was shipped very quickly to New York to get original pictures that we transmitted on the networks.
Now, as you were seeing these photographs and some film as it came in, did you know that these photographs were special? Did you know you were seeing something that had the power to change the country?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I was familiar with the Korean War coverage and familiar by study of World War II coverage. And there was a difference. You could see the difference in the pictures very early on. It was closer to the fighting troops. In the early part of the war, it was a Vietnamese war, and the Vietnamese face that was on the war. But you got very close to it, and you saw some of the horrible things that happened in war that you never did see from Korea, sometimes because of censorship, but sometimes because it just didn't happen that way. The nature of the war was different, and photographers were able to photograph that, thanks again to the access they had, and were able to get to battles while they were still going on, as opposed to getting there in some other way. It was slower.
One of the things that surprised me a bit, I suppose it shouldn't have, but when I looked at your book, those photographs, they're like dynamite. They go off in your head, and you can't get the image out of there. They're powerful. Even all these years later, you know, Vietnam is well behind us. We're fighting new wars, but they're still so potent. Why do you think that is?
I think that's because they are so close to the humanity that was involved in the war. Also, you have to bear in mind that the people fighting in Vietnam were draftees, and they were not regular army, and they tended to be a little more bare-chested and open with correspondence. Also, the GIs and Marines that were fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan were regular army. They were all enlisted, and they were equipped with all sorts of technological devices with strange gimmicks on their helmets and goggles and weapons that we hadn't seen before. And they had a kind of a, I hate to say this, but they had a robotic feel to them that was not as visceral or flesh and blood as the kinds of things we saw in Vietnam. And of course, 58,000 Americans died in Vietnam. And as bad as the fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan was, the fatalities were not close to that number.
I want to talk about a couple of the photographs that a lot of people remember. One is from 1963. It's the image of a monk who has set himself on fire, I guess with gasoline, and his body is being consumed, and he's sitting there in a meditation posture. You know, it's hard for your brain to take something like that in. What can you tell us about the backstory of that picture?
Well, that picture was made by Mal Brown, who is a writer, not a photographer, by the way. But Mal had very close connections with the Buddhist community. And at that time, the Buddhists were in a out-and-out struggle with the government over their lack of attention from the government, since the government was run mostly by Roman Catholics. And they had a series of protests, and Mal covered them all, and he was tipped off the night before that there was going to be an especially dramatic protest the next morning. So Mal joined the monks at the temple and marched with them to the city and witnessed this immolation. What's important about that picture is that until that picture appeared, the war in Vietnam was kind of a page 10 or page 12 story. But that picture put the story on the front page, and where it stayed for 10 years. It also ended up on John Kennedy's desk the next morning, and he inquired of Henry Cabot Lodge, who was his newly appointed ambassador to Vietnam, to say, what the hell's going on out there? Let's find out. And as it turned out, the picture was made in June. In November, there was a coup d'etat in which President Ngo Dinh Diem was killed.
And I suppose the monk in that picture died.
He did indeed. He died right there on the street. And his heart was entombed in a chalice in the temple. I wish I could tell you whether it's still there. I should have tried to find out whether his heart is still located there, but I so far have been unable to determine that.
Well, one of the most well-known photographs from the war is called Napalm Girl. It's by Nick Ut, or Ut. And I wonder, you know, a lot of us have heard that story, but not from your mouth. Could you tell us about what happened that day?
Well, there had been a several days of struggle between North Vietnamese troops and South Vietnamese troops around a town called Tra Bang, and some of the people had taken coverage in a temple, a Khao Dai temple, which is a kind of a cult religion. And during the course of the fight, Nick Ut had driven, it's about 25 miles from Saigon, and Nick Ut had driven in his van to as close as they could get to the actual fighting. And the South Vietnamese called in an airstrike, and the South Vietnamese pilots in their planes came over the temple and dropped napalm, but it was misdirected. Somehow they got their longitude and latitude confused. And napalm landed among some Vietnamese civilians who were seriously burned, and they ran down the highway away, of course, from the blast toward where there was a little cortege of correspondents and photographers there. And Nick made the picture as the young girl ran towards him, and Nick, being Nick, saw she was very seriously hurt. He put down his camera, and he took her to the van that AP had nearby and drove her to a hospital. And Nick and Kim Phuc, that was the girl's name, became very close friends, and they are in touch even today. She now lives in Toronto. But the picture, of course, being as dramatic as it was, became a great anti-war symbol, not a political symbol, but just a symbol of how innocents are caught in the horrors of war, and it just taken on a great anti-war feeling.
Did a photo like that, a photo that became that famous and changed so many hearts or touched so many hearts, did that change that now woman's life?
Oh, absolutely. She was sent to Cuba to be trained as a dental technician, and she met the man she eventually married and took off. They were married and were given a honeymoon trip to Moscow. And when she came back, the plane stopped in Toronto, and she and her husband got off the plane and sought the political asylum, which they were given. And she is now operates a company that lobbies for the innocents who are caught in war. She's really quite well known and travels and speaks very effectively on behalf of peace and the need to avoid wars that do damage like this to innocents.
We've only got about a minute left, but is there something, Hal, special about the photograph? We have a lot of technology at our fingertips now, including, you know, videos and all kinds of things, really quick-snapped cell phone shots, which aren't quite the same as what we're seeing out of the Vietnam War. What's special about the photograph?
Well, the photograph itself, I always kind of compare photographs to kind of a history's notebook, because when you look at a picture like the pictures you see in this book, like Nick Gutt's picture and the Saigon execution made by Eddie Adams, where the man was executed in a Saigon street, those pictures, they open up a window and they recollect things that happened before. They certainly recollect the incident that took place, and they frequently give us an indication of what's coming down the line in the future. And they really become landmarks, historical landmarks, that help us relate visually and viscerally to historical events that sometimes get lost in a mass of words that are sometimes useful and sometimes not so useful.
All right. Well, Hal, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
That was Hal Buell, former director of photography at the Associated Press, talking about the new book, Vietnam, The Real War, A Photographic History by the Associated Press.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.